everybody. How are y'all doing this morning? Awesome. Hey, can you help me give a warm welcome to our online family? We're so excited that you're here as well. So I have a question for you. Do you ever deal with a lot of voices in your head? Well, some people do. I hear audibly. And what I mean by that is all the inputs that try to shape how we think, how we feel, and how we live our life. Now, some of these are pretty obvious ones, like video or conversations or things like that, but others are a little more subtle, like a headline, a memory, or even what you think about yourself. We live in a time right now that's called the information age. And what that means is that we have access to more voices than we ever have before. We're almost kind of flooded with those kind of voices. Whether it's like TikTok or YouTube or podcasts or news feeds, friends, influencers, AI algorithms, anyone ever deal with that? You know, I wish I could stop seeing videos of how to get rid of stubborn belly fat. You know, I clicked one time and then all of a sudden you just keep seeing these videos over and over. You know, there's the voice of the culture. Culture's telling you, you are what you do. Or maybe you've had a traumatic experience in your life, and that voice likes to whisper to you, don't risk, don't trust, because if you do, it's going to happen again. I mean, there's even a voice of religion. You know, religion says, keep working for God, you got to earn it, right? Trying to keep you, you know, that voice keep trying to make you work for love rather than living from it. But one voice feeds off of all of those other voices, and that's what psychologists like to call the voice of the inner critic. There's a study done by the National Science Foundation, and it shared that the average person has about 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day, and 80% of those are negative. Now, that is a staggering statistic. 80% of our thoughts lean negative. So that means that many of us are living with a critic in our head all the time. It's kind of somewhat normal. And it sounds normal because, well, it sounds like us. And you hear things like, man, you should be further than you are right now. Or, you know, you're never going to change. See, look what you just did. Or you're not enough. And this voice is often seeded by the enemy, but it's watered by comparison and performance or even past wounds. But what if I told you that there's another voice that you could listen to? One that could flip that statistic. And in fact, this voice is a voice you were designed to hear. And as you learn to recognize this voice, those other voices start to lose their power. See, this voice doesn't condemn you. It doesn't confuse you or manipulate. In fact, this voice is sometimes kind of like the wind. It's gentle. It's soft. In John chapter 10, Jesus says some really powerful words. He says, I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear my voice and know my voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. See, the voice I'm talking about is the voice of the good shepherd. Now, this whole year, we've been pressing into this idea of being revived. We've called it revived by his wind and his word. See, we believe that we're going to be revived in 2025 by the wind of his spirit. That's often what the Holy Spirit is called, the wind. And the truth of his word, that has the power to revive you. And today I want to look at a really crucial piece to living that revived life. How do we learn how to recognize and respond to the voice of the shepherd? See, I believe knowing the shepherd's voice is going to be absolutely critical to the season that we're living in as a church. Absolutely critical. And why I'm saying that is because we are stewarding revival. Now that's a big word, has a big meaning. What does that even mean? Well, revival looks like 76 people getting baptized a few weeks ago, right? Which is amazing to celebrate. Many more than that have given their life or come back to Jesus. It looks like people being healed of chronic disease. I just talked to Elmer out by the coffee station, and he was like, you know, a few weeks ago, someone mentioned a word about chronic pain in their hip, and he goes, I haven't felt pain in my hip since. I'm walking totally normal. That's what it looks like. I mean, that's amazing, right? Many of our staff have been set free and delivered. Like, it's not just people among the church, but it's on our staff, our pastors, even myself. See, we're being revived and awakened so others can be revived and awakened. Now, if you're new here, you didn't know any of that, right? But you're invited to be part of it. And I would just want to say, welcome. You're here at a beautiful time in our church's history. A beautiful time. See, we're in preparation. And in preparation, we're going to hear a lot of voices. We already are hearing a lot of voices. You know, voices that want to shape the way that we think, that we feel, that we live our life of faith. Now, some of those voices are good. They're wise. We need wise voices, wise counsel. But others of those voices, they're going to try to stoke and provoke fear or disunity or division. They're going to try to destroy what the Father is doing. And, you know, we're in the one-year Bible, and that means it's a reading plan. And I had, you know, kind of chapter 7 in John all the way to 10, and I could have picked any of those wonderful stories. But when I saw John 10, which we read this morning, John 10, I was like, this is it. Because see, we need to know one voice over all the other voices. We need to know the shepherd's voice. He has to stand above all of them. So how do we learn to recognize and respond to that voice? That's what I want to talk about today. So let me invite the real teacher in the room. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You're the guide. You're the one that we need to hear from this morning. And so, Lord, I ask that you would open our ears to hear you. And you would even open our hearts to receive from you, perceive from you. We need more of you, Jesus. And any kind of I know there's a lot of distraction. There's a lot going on in our world. But, Lord, right now for this next hour, could we just hear your voice? Any distraction, I bind you. Confusion, I bind you in Jesus' name. Open our ears to hear you, Lord. Amen. So before I dive into the text a little bit, I want to talk about shepherds and sheep. Now, you might not know a lot about that. There might be a few of you out there. But the shepherd metaphor is used all throughout the Bible, like 100 times throughout the Old and the New Testament, and it's often a metaphor used to describe God, Jesus, kings, prophets, and even false leaders. Now, in the Old Testament, you see Jacob referred to God as his lifelong shepherd. You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's like, well, he's my lifelong shepherd. In Isaiah says, God tends his flock like a shepherd. And of course, there's probably the most famous psalm out there, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. See, you know that one. I shall not want. So why would this theme be so prevalent throughout the Bible? Well, it's because humans are a lot like sheep. I did a little research on shepherds and what they know about sheep, and I came across this video that I thought was very instructional. So let's watch this. You know, humans, they're a lot like sheep. And I look at that and I go, well, that's not wrong. See, sheep are prone to wander, and so are we. right? Isaiah 53:6 even says, yes, we all like sheep have gone astray. Like sheep, we get easily distracted, right? You can get off your phone right now, just kidding. We drift, right? And we like to chase after things, and sometimes those things either are even dangerous. You know, sheep are easily spooked, and so are we. Any sudden movement or noise, the sheep go scattering. They're freaked out. Humans, one text, one headline, one bank notification sends us into a spiral. Sheep are defenseless, and so are we, although we don't like to admit that one. You know, sheep don't have claws or fangs or venom. They can't fight or outrun predators. And humans, well, we often try to defend ourselves through overachieving or performance or people-pleasing, but really we're kind of vulnerable people. Now, sheep follow the crowd. If a sheep walks off the cliff, there's a high possibility that the other sheep are going to follow. And humans, well, we have TikTok, you know, except we call it a trend and then set it to music. And finally, this one's a little more positive. Sheep know their shepherd's voice. See, even through lots of noise and confusion and chaos, sheep have this uncanny ability to hear one voice. And just like sheep, we're also made to hear one voice above them all. I want you to think about your life for a moment. What voice do you listen to the most? Is it the culture? Is it a spiritual leader? Is it your inner critic? In John 10, Jesus shares a really rich and deep illustration that I think is going to help us with this. Now, in context, Jesus has just healed a man born blind. Every time I see a blind person get healed in the Bible, I'm like, whoa, that's amazing, right? That's just born blind. He can now fully see. But instead of celebrating, the religious leaders are interrogating him, and then they kick him out of the synagogue. And so in direct response to this, Jesus gives this illustration to show some bad spiritual leadership, right? Namely, the Pharisees. Now, it's important to notice that Jesus isn't just being poetic here, he's being prophetic, right? He often uses parables and illustrations to really declare these deep, profound truths. And here specifically, he's saying, I'm the fulfillment. I'm the fulfillment of the promise that there is a true shepherd coming, a true shepherd to gather his flock. And so let's read what he says in John 10. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. Well, he's in good company, isn't he? So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, I'm sure some of you are a little bit familiar with this passage, especially John 10:10 that I just read. We quote that one a lot. But there's a lot going on here, and even his listeners at the time didn't understand it. So I just want to kind of break it down a little bit for you. Jesus says, I am the gate. He is the gate to the sheepfold, which means He's the way in. He's the entry point to salvation, to safety, to abundant life. And just like a gate would do, he provides access to provision, to protection, and to the pastures. But Jesus also says this. He goes, I am the shepherd. So he's switching metaphors on us. Thanks, Jesus. See, he's not only the access point, he's also the one that walks with you. See, he's not just the entrance to salvation, he's the one that leads you into it, that watches over you, that lays down his life for you, is what it says later. That's powerful. Okay, so those are those two metaphors. And then, of course, you know, we're the sheep. So you can practice that at home. Then we have another character, the gatekeeper. He's only mentioned once. The gatekeeper represents Father God. He's the one that opens the gate. He's the only one that can open the gate. So Jesus is the only one who has the right and authority to be there. And then finally, we have thieves and robbers. And in context, Jesus is referring to the religious leaders that just kicked out the man that got healed of blindness. So what is Jesus trying to show us here? Well, one thing is this. Not every voice in your life belongs there. You know, specifically, he's giving a strong warning about spiritual leaders who come into our lives, but not through God's authority. Right? They kind of slip over the wall, and they have their own agenda. And he calls these people thieves and robbers. That's an interesting description. They're a little different. Like thieves take what doesn't belong to them, but robbers take without you even realizing it until you do, right? It's more subtle. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus describes these people as wolves in sheep's clothing, meaning what you see is not what you get. You know, it is spiritual, but it's not safe. That's what he's saying. Now, to be clear, not every voice in our life is dangerous. There are wise voices. There are needed voices. We need each other. We need voices in the body of Christ. But what Jesus is trying to say is discern the voice, know the source. And honestly, this is a word for our generation. Do you realize what's happening in our culture? In church culture, we have all these unhealthy leadership being exposed. I can name some really famous names, but there's control, manipulation, abuse, scandal going back years and years. It's all over, right? And these famous leaders who now have this bad fruit in their life, it kind of makes you question everything about their ministry. It's so sad and heartbreaking when I see it. But in the midst of this, there's also another kind of voice that's on the rise. I kind of call them heretic hunters. You know, people that build a platform on tearing other people down. You know, and I'm not saying they're always wrong what they expose, but the way they're going about it doesn't seem right. Why? Well, it's because it's more critical than restorative. It makes me more suspicious than discerning, right? It makes me not want to trust people. And it doesn't sound like the shepherd's voice. Now, there's another spiritual voice out there, and these are kind of outside the fold altogether, because not every spiritual leader is operating in the name of Jesus. Now, we might be familiar with, it's very prominent in our world, maybe New Age healing or astrology, people that kind of mention the universe or always lead. You know, they're spirit guides, and these voices sound spiritual. They're even compassionate, but they're not from the shepherd. And they, too, can kind of sneak over the wall, and they're just as dangerous. So let's just say what Jesus is talking about here is very relevant. And you see, in our culture, in our world right now, our world is becoming more and more open to spirituality, but not necessarily more discerning. We need to be. But Jesus doesn't stop there. See, he names the real source behind all of this. Verse 10. You might have noticed this. He shifts from talking about a thief to the thief. He says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. See, Jesus isn't just warning us about spiritual leaders anymore. He's pointing to the real enemy behind them. See, there's a real thief behind every false voice. There's a liar behind the lies. There's a controller behind those that try to control, right? And so what he's saying is that if they're stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, there's a deeper source. And that person may be, knowingly or not, being influenced by the real enemy, Satan. Now, this doesn't excuse their actions. It's not, the devil made me do it. You know, it's like, no, you don't get a pass because of that. But what it's helped me is kind of give me some spiritual lenses, some spiritual glasses to look at the world and to look at all my interactions in a different way. You know, this is like right out of Ephesians 6, right? Like the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against dark powers and sources. So what this has helped me do in my life is it's actually helped me have compassion for even people that are whispering the wrong things in my ear. I start to have compassion for them. I remember a spiritual leader, this is many years ago, in my life, and they really helped me grow in so many ways. They spoke into my life, they really guided me. But there was one thing that really bothered me. They often spoke negatively about a mutual leader of ours. And at first, I was kind of empathetic. Like I at some level understood what they were doing because I had had challenging situations with this leader as well. But something shifted as I got to know our mutual leader better. And I realized, wait, this isn't adding up. Like, okay, they make mistakes, yes, but what I see in this person is humility and kindness. I actually see them that they're really rooting for me and they're for me, they're championing me. And see, what I didn't realize what was happening from this other leader, out of their unresolved pain, this leader had kind of slipped over the wall and started whispering things about this person before I even got to know them. See, I remember the shepherd's voice telling me, you see, all that they can see is their hurt and the pain. And they're gossiping and slandering because they're blinded to who this person really is. They can't see it through their pain. And what it gave me the courage to do was distance myself, to say, hey, I'm sorry, but what we're doing right here, this is not okay. This is not okay, right? You need to resolve that. And I need to remove myself from this close relationship. You see, when you learn to recognize the shepherd's voice, he becomes your filter. He becomes the ability to sort out what's true and what's harmful, what brings life and what steals it. Listen to what verse 3 says. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Man, I am so grateful that I was learning to recognize the shepherd's voice. It changed everything in that situation. I'm probably still on staff here because of it. Really. You see, in any situation, we can learn to recognize his voice and come to him, and get this, he will lead us out. He will lead you out. Maybe right now in your life you have a situation that you need to hear the shepherd's voice above all the others. Maybe you're hearing a lot of voices giving you lots of opinions, but you need the shepherd's voice. In fact, I think some of you have heard his voice, but you're afraid to step out. You're afraid to come to him. You're afraid to let him lead you out and to respond. See, in these situations, I think one of the hardest things, as even followers of Jesus has been following for a long time, one of the biggest questions we ask, Well, how do I know it's his voice? How do I recognize God's voice? As I was researching how long it takes sheep to recognize the shepherd, I found some interesting facts about it. I learned that it's not so much the length of time or even the amount of time, it's the consistency of time. See, it doesn't happen instantaneously. See, as he allows them, as the shepherd begins to feed and lead and care for the sheep consistently, as he allows them to come to him and associate his voice with safety and provision, they begin to listen and trust their shepherd. Now, for all the shepherds that were listening in the time, they kind of understood that. But for us, we don't totally get that. Listen to what he says. They recognize his voice and they come to him and he leads them out. It's kind of like this guy right here. It looks a little bit like this. I hear you, Jesus. I'm coming. Isn't that guy cute? I mean, I just get a warm feeling every time I see it. What does this look like practically? See, you're going to learn to recognize a shepherd's voice most accurately through consistent time in his word. Now, you thought I was going to say study rocket science or something. But it really is simple. We are revived by his wind and his word. Now, here's what's interesting. I mean, Jesus is all about the metaphors. Do you know he is the word? We learn this in John 1. He's the word, became flesh and dwelt among us, right? It's not just a metaphor, it's a reality, right? He is the word of God. And when we read the word of God, we come to him. That's how we come to him. And this is where he's going to feed you and lead you. This is where you're going to begin to discern and learn what his voice sounds like, where we'll experience safety and provision. It's where you're going to learn things like this. He is good. Case in point, verse 11. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. Whew. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. See, when we read his word, we hear his voice. We see his goodness. We realize, oh, he's for me. We realize that he would do anything for our protection, including laying down his own life, which he did that for you. See, you begin to be saturated in his truth consistently, and you're able to know his voice above any other voice. Do you know we don't need to know the enemy's voice? We don't need to recognize what the enemy's voice sounds like. Did you know that? See, when you're training someone to identify counterfeit money, right? You don't train them by having them study all the false money. I mean, there's probably millions of variations of false money. You know what you do? You actually have them look at the original, the real thing. Over and over, you're looking at all the intricacies. You're like, oh, there's a little spider there. Oh, look at that eyeball staring at me. That's kind of scary. You know, they look at every little detail. Why? Because when they see a false one, they're like, oh, that's not real. See, it's the same with Jesus. You don't need to obsess over every false voice. You don't need to track down every lie and every heresy. You just need to know his voice. And you're going to know that most consistently through his word. You see, when you're listening to a podcast, when you're listening to a teaching, hopefully not my teaching, when you're listening to that voice in your head, you're going to know something is off because you know his voice. See, I think our culture is so infatuated with error and working out the sin or finding the sin rather than centered on Christ. Tearing down others rather than lifting Jesus up. You know, we like to say it here, we're too sin-focused rather than Savior-focused. But see, if we know the shepherd's voice, we easily recognize a false one. So that's one part. But I want to dig a little deeper because I think Jesus is showing us something else in this. See, in verse 12 it says, when the wolf attacks, the flock scatters. See, part of the thief's tactics is to whisper you away from the shepherd, to isolate you, to get you on the outside. You see, the enemy doesn't need to devour you if he can just divide you. So how does he do this? Well, let me put it in a little bit of context in what's happening in our church. God is clearly moving among us, and it's really beautiful. There's transformation, there's people being healed and empowered. There's excitement, there's radical encounters with the Lord. There's people stepping into brand new opportunities. Some of you are part of that, and all of you are invited to be part of that. But here's what can happen in that kind of situation. In a season like this, the enemy likes to whisper, did you see that? Well, they didn't include you. Well, you're not as spiritual as them. Well, you don't belong. And then your inner critic kind of chimes up and says, oh yeah, that's right, because there's something wrong with you. You're not valuable. And suddenly you're no longer participating, you're spectating. And you're looking from the outside, and maybe you're even judging what's happening. Now this dynamic, it doesn't just happen in church settings, it happens in our everyday life. I know any given percentage, there's probably some of you dealing with discouragement right now or disappointment. Maybe it's an unanswered prayer, but it's like, why did they get their prayer answered and not mine? And it makes you feel on the outside. Maybe it's busyness, but you know what I think the enemy loves to use the most? He likes to take your mistake and then say you're disqualified from receiving from him. He likes to use shame. It's a tactic on the enemy. You see, the enemy is not just after your sin. He's after your separation. His goal is for you to feel alone on the outside, disconnected from Jesus and disconnected from people. See, maybe today Jesus is calling your name. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you're feeling a little bored. Maybe you've just kind of wandered away. But you know, I have hundreds of these people in this room. Do you know if you were drifting away, he would go after you? Yes. You know he would leave us having church here and he would just go out there and go after you, that he would leave the 99 for the one? Yes. Do you know that? Yes. Maybe Jesus is calling your name. I love what he says here. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I know my own sheep and they know me. See, you're not just part of a flock or a crowd. He knows your name. He doesn't lead you from a distance. He draws near. Now this word know, I gotta tell you what it's very intimate. I know my own sheep and they know me. Do you know it's the same word that's used in the Bible for a husband getting to know his wife? Well, that's close. It's very vulnerable. It's to know and be known. See, it's not just knowledge about someone, it's to know them by experience. See, here's the truth, that our greatest weapon against thieves and robbers is intimacy with Jesus. See, to know him and to be known. See, what the enemy wants to do is say, no, your past mistakes dictate your future. No, but what the Lord wants you to know is you're a new creation, that the old is gone, the new has come. Like when you make a mistake and you feel condemned, you know, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's what he says about you. That you're faultless and blameless. That's what he wants you to know. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, we're far too easily pleased. We're fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. He says it's kind of like we play with mud pies when a holiday at sea is offered. I love that imagery. See, what if this summer, it wasn't about striving, but it was about surrender? What if it was creating space so that you could learn to hear his voice? You know, what if you joined us on this journey in the one-year Bible? And maybe you fell off the bandwagon. That's okay. There's lots of wagons. You know, we just read John 10. That was today's reading. So you're like a quarter of the way there. What if you joined us, that you could learn to discern his voice, that you wouldn't worry about all those false voices or going down the wrong road or the wrong path? Do you know what his word is? It's a light unto our path, a lamp to our feet. That's what the word does. It sharpens us. It strengthens us. That's what he's inviting us to. See, if you know the shepherd's voice, you don't have to worry about another voice. You don't have to worry about the thieves and robbers. He's calling you to intimacy. Would you just stand? If you're able, I just want to pray over you as we move into worship. Because we're getting ready to sing a whole bunch of scripture. A whole bunch of truth about who the Lord is. And I love what worship can do. And I do just sense this as we move into worship. I don't know if some of you have been struggling with your thoughts. Struggling with your thought life. Those voices in your head, but they're really negative. If that's you, if you would be willing, I just want you to put your hands on your head, kind of as a prophetic guy. I just want to pray this over you. Lord, right now, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do this out of our power because you have all the power. This is your power. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you're going to start to invade our thoughts with your thoughts, with who we are and whose we are. That we're not going to dwell anymore on those negative thoughts, that inner critic is gonna die, and that your voice is gonna be loud and clear. And so Jesus, as we worship, as we fix our attention and our affection on you,